Amen. Just remain standing. Turn in your Bible to Psalm 92. We sang this last week maybe or week before that. Psalm 92 verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. We'll sing that line twice, and then after the second time, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Amen. Let's sing that together, and we'll sing it a couple times because it's a good thing to do. Amen. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Amen. Amen. Just remain standing, if you will. Turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter number 3. Amen. Let me say something about that last song. It's a psalm, Psalm 92, that we just sang. It's not saying almost high. He's not the almost. He's the almighty. He's O Most High. Amen. And I just want to make sure sometimes children hear it and they may think it's saying almost high when he's O Most High. Amen. Genesis chapter number 3. We've been looking at this text now for several Wednesday nights. I think this makes 6, perhaps, if my notes are correct, this makes 6 Wednesday nights that we've looked here in Genesis chapter number 3. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. Genesis chapter number 3, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. I'm going to read down through verse number 11, because we covered the first 8 verses now, and I'm going to pick up verse 9 through 11 tonight, Lord willing, but I want to start with verse 1. The Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? I'm going to stop reading there in verse number 11. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer again together. Brother Kevin, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, as we press our heart of grace upon time, Lord, we ask that you bless this reading of thy word, O Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you give our pastors, our pastor, liberty to preach.
Yes, Lord, help us.
I pray, Lord, that you give us ears to hear what you have to say with us, O Lord. Lord, I pray, O Lord, for one that ready to land, that you just help them, O Lord, and I pray, O Lord, that they could be a blessing here at the church today, Lord.
Yes. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated, and I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Amen. I said earlier, and I've said it, I don't know how many times, I've said radio is more important than it ever has been, and prayer is more important than it ever has been. And we need to be people of prayer. Matter of fact, the reason I read those names tonight was Sunday morning before Joshua read over the list. Just something that he said, and I felt like God nudged me and said, you know, on Wednesday nights, you normally take prayer requests, you take a lot of time doing that. We're not doing that now. Be all right just to call their names out. And I believe, for example, I believe it's real good for the children to hear their names called out and know somebody's praying for them. Amen. And probably good for all of us to know somebody's remembering me in prayer. We can say that and we can do it. But thank God we can do it over the radio even. Amen. And so I'm glad that we can. All right. Well, having said those things, I didn't mention that my wife's great uncle passed away yesterday, Lytle Johnson. And it's my father-in-law's uncle. I worked with Lytle. Lytle was a deacon at the Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle where Ricky Cawthorn got saved. And Ricky Cawthorn used to be a member there. And Brother Lytle was a deacon there and a member there for years. He's been in a nursing home now for some time. And pray for his family, if you will. Remember them. And other needs we know of like that as well. Pray for those. All right. And, of course, funerals are different now with this virus stuff going on, the way they're doing things. And so pray for the families involved in these things. All right. Well, now, having looked at these previous eight verses, verses 1 through 8, this chapter over the past few Wednesday nights, I've said that we've been walking through this chapter. And as a matter of fact, I've titled this series, I've called it A Walk Through Genesis 3. That's just what I'm calling it. And as we've been looking at it, we've been looking at some important truths. I believe we've already seen some important truths and some good principles that we can glean some important lessons from, amen, and some things relating to this first mention principle, amen. I mentioned this is the first mention of a temptation. It's the first mention of the enemy of our souls. And sadly, it's the first mention of sin and disobedience. We ended our last study by looking at Adam and Eve fleeing from the voice of God in the garden. They're fleeing, they're running away from God. Let me mention, we've had five sermons thus far. This will be the sixth. Let me just give you a thought. I preached the first sermon, I called it The Subtlety of Sin from verse number 1. We saw how it all started by questioning God. And I want to encourage you, do not question God. God knows what He's doing, whether we know or not. Whether it makes any sense. Listen, I thought about, how much sense did it say to Adam and Eve, don't eat that one fruit? What's it going to hurt to eat that one fruit? Well, I'll tell you what it hurt. It plunged the whole world into sin because it was disobedience. God said, don't. Amen. Now, there's a lot of things we don't understand, but don't question God. Sin started, the temptation started by questioning God. Number two, I talked about the safety of restriction from verses 2 and 3. We saw that the rules that were given were meant for our safety. Amen. And then number 3, I called it the surety of the penalty. Verses 4 and 5, God showed us that He meant what He said. The serpent said, did God really mean that? As a matter of fact, He come boldly out and said He didn't mean that, but God did mean what He said. Amen. And then we preached number 4 on the steps of temptation. And that's from verse number 6. And we saw that the serpent went from questioning God to outright denying the truth of God's word. And then Eve transitioning from just talking about it, just thinking about the fruit, to actually going up to the fruit, inspecting the fruit, putting her hand out to the fruit, wrapping her fingers around the fruit, and then actually taking it into her own system and then giving it unto her husband. He did eat also, the Bible says, thus plunging the whole human race into disobedience to God and a certain judgment for sin. I made the statement that the serpent said they'd be like gods, but rather they became more like the serpent. They became more like Satan. Eve, immediately upon taking it, became a tempter herself and a rebel herself. Horatius Bonar in 1875 said this. He said, quote, every fallen being becomes a tempter, seeking to ruin other, to drag them down to the same death into which he has himself been driven.
Horatius Bonar said way back 150 years ago that every fallen being becomes a tempter. I think that's true. We see it in Eve's life. And again, the first mentioned principle, we believe that follows through even now. Notice also there in verse number 6, notice how swiftly they fell into sin. It's a steady progression that went along quickly. As old saying is, you get the ball rolling and it'll move pretty quickly. Sin is not a long, drawn-out process. It usually takes place very quickly. The woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat. In that one sentence, you see how quickly this thing moved along. Amen. Also notice not only how swiftly that it took place, but notice how serious the matter was. It was made to appear small. It was made to appear simple, when in actuality it was huge and it was intricate. Again, that's the way sin works today. The devil says, it's just a little bit. It's just a little thing. Amen. Maybe it's just a little fling. Maybe it's just a little drug or whatever. You list a lot of things and he doesn't tell you, no, it's not a little thing. It's a huge thing. And it can be an intricate thing and influence and infect many. Amen. And then last Wednesday we looked at verses 7 and 8, and I call that the state of the fallen. We saw that the eyes of their consciences were opened. They immediately felt guilt and shame. The fact that they were naked before, but now they feel it. Now they see it. Now they feel exposed. That's the point that I make there. And that's the way that sin does. Amen. Sin leaves you exposed in the eyes of the public and in the eyes of your parents and in the eyes of your peers and in the eyes of God. Amen. Sin leaves you exposed. And so rather than running to God in faith, they ran from God in fear. That's what sin does, by the way. Amen. We spoke about how once their conscience had been defiled by sin, they felt dirty and exposed. But rather than seeking to be cleansed from their sin, they sought to cover it. Just to cover it up in the eyes of each other. Amen. Then we saw verse number 8 that God came in the cool of the day, and that he probably, I think that was a normal routine, that probably in the cool of the day, at the close of the evening, he would come by and inspect what had been done, talk to Adam about what he had done that day, and converse about those things. Some people said, well, maybe that was in the morning time, the cool of the day. But I think that it would have been in the evening time. That's when the Jews start their day, and that's when most people talk about what they've done that day, not in the morning. They do that in the evening. And I think that's probably, matter of fact, I found out that in the Latin Vulgate, it's translated in the evening. As the sun goes down is what it said. That's the cool part of the day considered by them. Well, that's really neither here nor there, but God, here's my point. Sometime or another, before your day's out, when I say your day, your life, your existence is out, you're going to come face to face with God. Sometime or another, and I don't believe it'll be in the morning of your life, I believe it'll be in the evening of your life, sometime or another, you're going to have to give an account to God for what you've done today. Amen. Now, we're ready to move on to the next verses, verses 9 through 11. And I've titled this message tonight, The Search Made by God. The Search Made by God. Verse number 9, the Bible says, And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? Amen. I want to think, first of all, that first phrase, and the Lord God called unto Adam. Those first 7 words of that sentence. Notice that it was God calling out to Adam rather than Adam calling out to God. Again, we've got the principle of first mention. It shows that a loving God reaches out to fallen man. Amen. In spite of man's betrayal, in spite of man's disobedience, in spite of man's rebellion, in spite of man's fleeing nature, God reaches out to fallen man. Hallelujah. Amen. God still does that in this day in which we live. But those first seven words of this sentence, I believe, are pure grace. And the Lord God called unto Adam. Can you think of anything more amazing than that? God did not owe Adam any generosity. Amen. God had created Adam. God gave life to Adam. God made an helpmeet for Adam. God made a perfect garden in a perfect world, and he set Adam in that and set Adam and Eve in that. God blessed them and gave them an abundance of beauty and an abundance of sustenance to enjoy, all rich things to enjoy, with only one stipulation. That was, don't eat of that one tree. But Adam failed. Adam failed. God didn't owe Adam anything. And yet, God came searching for Adam. Amen. Why would God waste his time on such a failure as Adam and Eve? Only because he is a merciful and gracious God. Amen. Amen. Think about how easily it would have been for him just to have fried Adam and Eve. He could have instantly snapped them out of being and just started all over with another man and woman. But God came searching for Adam. God came seeking Adam. Amen. I'll say this, God instigated the search. Amen. God called to Adam. Amen. Some people like to point out that sinners do not seek God. It is God that seeks sinners, and that is true. Yet some sinners do start seeking after God. How is that, you might say? How is that? Well, I think it's obvious, and it'll prove out in the text, and it'll prove out in eternity, that God began seeking that sinner and nudged that sinner in some way that the sinner might start seeking after him. Amen. Amen. And I believe it's as Charles Spurgeon said. He said, and I can't quote exactly how he said it, but he dealt with the fact that he believed that there might be a gate in heaven that on this side as you enter in, it said, whosoever will may come. And when you go through the door and look back, it said, predestined before the foundation of the world. Amen. God knows. Amen. And yet God said, whosoever will may come. Who you reckon he'll let come? Whosoever. Amen. Amen. If God's nudging your heart today, sinner, to seek after God, you better get seeking after him. You can find him. Amen. You might say, why would God have mercy on me? Just because he's a merciful God. Why would God work on me? I'm a failure. Yeah, every man's been a failure. Every sinner's been a failure. But thank God, God's a merciful and long-suffering, gracious God. Amen. Amen. Just as Adam eventually came slinking back to God, but only after God initiated the search. Sinners may go seeking after God. Amen. Now, I got two notes here, and I'm going to move on to my next thought on this verse. I'm not leaving this verse yet. But first of all, I note there is no doubt that God could easily have concealed himself from mankind. God did not have to come down on a daily basis or a weekly basis or any periodic basis. God did not have to come down and walk with man. He chose to do so. He could have concealed himself from mankind and therefore never have been found by anyone. But for some reason, and I think it could only be grace, for some reason God chose to reveal himself to mankind. We would not even know this book, the book of Genesis, or this book, the Bible, if God hadn't spoke to man and revealed himself to man. I'm amazed. And what drew me to this study was thinking about how God is interested in revealing himself to sinners. Amen. He didn't start out revealing himself to Bible college students. He didn't start out revealing himself to pious, godly people. He come out. Listen, I know Adam and Eve was perfect when he initially spoke to him and probably initially walked with him, but here they are, sinners. And you know what God's doing? He's still calling out to them. Amen. and still revealing himself to mankind. Amen. On a second note, atheists and agnostics claim that mankind started searching for a God and eventually developed religion. They say religion's a man-made thing because man had an innate desire to have a God. Listen, friend, that's upside down. God had an innate desire to have a man. Man didn't have a desire to have a God. Man was fleeing from God. Man was running from God. Man was hiding from God. And by the way, all these idols and all these cults and these false religions, they are a mockery to God is what they are. They're not somebody searching after the real God, although there may be people that are trapped up in that, but I'm talking about the way they were founded and the way they were set up. They were not set up trying to figure out what the real God was like. Because if a man seek after God, the Bible says he can find him. Because God's still seeking for man. God, I'm simply saying this, God instigated the search for mankind. Mankind did not instigate the search for God. Amen. I remember when I was a boy, there was a television program called In Search Of. And Leonard Nimoy was the leader of it. And he would... he'd talk about In Search Of, and I don't know if they did one In Search Of God, but I'm telling you, mankind's not looking for God. Amen. Mankind's not looking for God. Amen. All right. Okay, we're getting a weather alert and it's interrupting us. Okay, I was trying to figure out what's going on here and making that noise. Mankind's not looking for God. God's looking for mankind. Amen. Amen. Well, let me say the second thing about this. The Lord God called unto Adam. I underline those two words, unto Adam. The Lord God called unto Adam. Notice this was not a general call. This was a personal call. God called Adam by name. Amen. Here, God was addressing the sinner, the first sinner, for the first time. Amen. When God could have easily sent a lightning bolt out of the cloud, the Lord God called unto Adam. Amen. Adam, in his sinful nature, knew that he was unfit even for Eve to see uncovered or any other fallen creature. Amen. He looked for a covering. And yet God is calling out to him. God is calling out to the sinner. Amen. I thought about this. There's times when God spoke in the Bible and people stood by and heard it, said it thundered. I wonder if God's voice might sound like thunder. Now I know Adam and Eve didn't see thunder and lightning and rain and all that because it hadn't rained before Noah's day, but you think of a normal sinner when thunder is so closely associated with lightning and a storm, it'd be no wonder that a sinner would flee from that when they hear the thunderous voice of God. And yet I don't believe that God was speaking here in a thunderous, judgmental tone when he said, Adam, where art thou? I believe it was a loving, longing tone. Amen. That he's sending out that voice to God. Amen. Or that voice to Adam. His voice is one that is longingly calling the straying one home. Amen. Sinner, come home. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Amen. Come unto me. Amen. I think about this line from Fanny Crosby's song, Draw Me Near. It says, I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice. And it told thy love to me. Hallelujah. When Adam heard the voice of God, when he heard it coming, he fled from it. But when God called out, not just the voice of God, but the words of God reached out to him. And he not only said just a voice with no meaning, it's a word. And you know what the word is? The word's his own personal name. Adam, where art thou? Amen. That fifth Sunday in June 1974, when I got saved by the grace of God, I didn't hear a voice from heaven. I didn't hear an audible voice say, Pharaoh, but it was just as real as that. And I knew I was singled out. It was God talking to me, whether he's talking to anybody else or not. Amen. He was talking to me. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Here's another line of a song from Fanny Crosby. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Hallelujah. God called out to Adam. God's calling to sinners today. One more. Charlotte Elliott's famous hymn. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. I'm glad I heard God bid me come to Him. Amen. Just as God called Adam, He's calling sinners to Himself this day. Amen. Amen. We could never have come to God if God had not called us to Himself. Oh, what a glad day it was when we heard God calling out to us. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 3, verses 7 through 9 says, Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. God said, if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart. Amen. Notice in our text, look at verse number 8, Genesis 3, 8. There was the voice, verse number 8, the first part. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. And then verse number 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad God's still calling out to sinners. Amen. There's the voice. Then there's the call. And then number 3, there's the question. Look at the last part of verse number 9. Where art thou? And said unto him, this verse is a perfectly broken down verse. 7 words of grace and 7 words of question. And the Lord God called unto Adam, 7 words of grace, 7 words of question. And he said unto him, where art thou? This is a progressive search. Amen. In other words, God's not walking away from Adam as he's saying these things. God's not turned his back on Adam and given up on Adam. No, God's coming towards him. God is initiating. He didn't just say, come here. He's moving in his direction. You see that? There's a progressive search. At first, we see Adam and Eve attempting to cover their nakedness with the fig leaves. They try to hide their shame. They're trying to hide it from one another. And then God shows up. And immediately upon hearing the voice of the Lord God in the garden, Adam and Eve are pierced through their heart with fear. They're pierced with guilt. And they're pierced with shame. And they flee away from God. Got to thinking about it this afternoon. How well I remember as a little boy. Hearing the Word of God preached week after week. Some of you have heard me tell my testimony. You've heard my mom and dad tell it. My mom and dad both got saved when I was 8 days old. Be coming up here before too long. Be 54 years for, let's see. Be 50, yeah, 54 years for all of us. I'll be 54. They'll be 54 years in the Lord in just a few days. Even 10 days for me, 18 days for them, because I was 8 days old when they got saved by the grace of God. Amen. But I grew up in church from that time. 8 days old, was in church. From then on, as far as I remember, going to church, hearing preaching. Amen. Hearing the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. But one day I heard Him call my name. One day it got personal. One day it came to me. I knew He wasn't just in the garden inspecting the trees. He wasn't just walking up and down the aisle looking at the pews. He wasn't just looking at everybody else. He was looking for me. Amen. Thank God Jesus came looking for me. Amen. Amen. Well, immediately when I heard God call out to me, I did not respond with an immediate obedience. I didn't respond with an immediate turning to God. Rather, I actually drew back in shame and in guilt, much like Adam and Eve behaved, by the way. I drew back in shame and guilt. And I tried to do better. Amen. Fig leaves are not much good, but they're doing better than nakedness. Amen. I've seen some people laying out, they'd do better to have some fig leaves. Amen. Some people walking around, they'd have been better to have some fig leaves. That's not good enough, but it's better than nakedness. Amen. And yet Adam and Eve trying to do better. But God's word kept hammering. That's what happened to me. That's what happened to them. God's word kept hammering. His spirit kept calling. He kept drawing, thank God. Drew me to confess my sin. By the way, that's exactly what he's doing with Adam. He's trying to draw Adam to confess where he is, what he's done. Amen. What's the cause of it all? He's wanting Adam to come looking for a sufficient covering for his sin. Amen. Notice the question put forth to the man. Here's what he said. Notice the question. Where art thou? As if to say, look where you've wound up. Amen. See where the path you are on is leading you, Adam. It's not leading you in holiness. It's leading you away from a holy God. It's not leading you in piety. It's leading you away from a holy God. In a pious walk. It's not leading you in morality. It's leading you into immorality. Amen. Look at the way you've gone. Look, where are you at, Adam? Where art thou, Adam? Look at where it's brought you to. Look at where the path you're on is leading you. Turn around. Come back to me and confess your wrong. Amen. And I say this and I'm getting ready to move on, but there never is help for somebody that won't admit where they're at. They won't admit where they are. They won't take stock of where they are in life. Amen. Those people will never stop their retreat long enough to get help unless they will admit where they are, what they're doing, and how they came to be in that direction. Amen. Those people will never find help or success until they admit those things. God did not beat a confession out of Adam. He drew it out of him with a call of love. Amen. Look at verse number 10. I've spent more time on verse 9 than I will verse 10 and 11 together. Look at these two verses and I'll be done. And he said, this is Adam speaking, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Adam admits he's wrong. Adam, God says, where art thou? Adam didn't say, well, I was busy over here doing your work. He wasn't busy doing God's work and I'm glad he didn't try to lie. By the way, and people do that sometimes. They come to a place the Holy Ghost starts dealing with them. They say, well, I'm as saved as you are. When they know deep down on the inside, no, they're not. They're trying to hide behind some fig leaves. They're trying to hide behind some trees. Amen. Amen. And Adam confessed. He admitted that he's wrong. He admits his fear. He'd never known fear before. He admits it. He admits his nakedness. He was naked before, but it wasn't wrong. There was nobody else in the world, just him and his wife. But now all of a sudden he feels wrong. Why? He's exposed. He's guilty. He's ashamed. Amen. He admits his fear. He admits his nakedness. He admits his retreat. And that's exactly what a sinner must do to get any help from God. Amen. He must admit what has happened in his life. Amen. I believe that a sinner has to own his decisions. I'm where I'm at because I made these choices. I'm where I'm at because I made some decisions. Amen. I believe they've got to admit their decisions. I believe they've got to admit their actions and their reactions. All these things. It's not somebody else to blame. We'll find out later. Adam starts trying to shift his blame. Mankind's good at that. Amen. It started out at the very beginning. Amen. Mankind's good at that. But you're not going to get help from God until you're ready to come clean with God. Amen. Amen. Therefore, Adam admits these things. But look at this. Although he's made a right confession, it seems as if he's still trying to excuse himself. Because he's yet not admitted how he came to be afraid of God. He just said, I was afraid. Why? Why should Adam be afraid of God unless he's a sinner now? God don't judge righteous people. God judges sinners. Amen. So why would Adam be afraid unless Adam's a sinner? He's not admitted that he's a sinner yet. He says he admits that he was afraid, but he looks almost like he's trying to excuse himself. He's not told how he came to be afraid, and he's not told how he came to know that he was naked. So God seeks to draw that information out by asking more questions. Look at verse number 11. And he said, this is God speaking again, who told thee that thou wast naked? And before Adam answers, God asks another question that he knows is the answer. Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Amen. God knew that for Adam to ever get any help, Adam is going to have to convict himself with his own words. Adam is going to have to say, listen, you don't have to say these words, but this has got to be your attitude. I'm guilty. Police officers say it this way, come out with your hands up. That's what sinners have to do to get any help from God. They got to come out of their hiding place with their hands up. That means coming clean, holding your hands up. That identifies a clean heart. Men lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubt. That deals with a clean heart when you lift up hands towards God. I realize why the police do it. That way they know there's no weapon in your hand. But I'm talking about, and by the way, there's no money. You've not stolen the money. You've not got the goods or whatever the case is that they've come in for. But in this case with God, you've got to come out with your hands up in the fact that you've got to come clean with God. You've got to admit with your own mouth, I'm guilty. I'm the guilty one. Amen. In other words, he's going to have to admit his guilt and admit his wrong. You see, Adam had not just sinned against himself. He had sinned against a holy God. Amen. Adam had sinned against God. Now, so many people seem to think that what they're doing is not hurting anybody but themselves. They'll make statements like that. I believe some people actually believe it. They say, when I sin, they'll say something like this, well, preacher, maybe what I'm doing is wrong, but I'm not hurting anybody but myself. Can I say to you, that is a lie. Amen. Sin hurts those who love you best. Sin hurts those who depend on you most. Amen. But in reality, sin is ultimately a wrong done against God. It's not just a wrong done against your wife. It's not just a wrong done against your fellow man. It's not just a wrong done against you. It's a wrong against God. Therefore, it is to God that you got to make it right. It's to God that you've got to repent. Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's to God that you must confess. Amen. You've got to get right with God. There may be some getting right with men later. Amen. There may be some getting right with your wife later, or your husband later, or your family member later. There may be some getting right with others later. But your number one priority is getting right with God, because your number one sin is a sin against God. Amen. God did not ask these questions because he needed information. God asked these questions to make Adam and Eve think about their situation. Think about their transgression. And hopefully come to a place of admitting they're wrong towards God. Amen. Amen. I'm going to have to stop right here for tonight. Let me just ask if perhaps God is calling somebody out in radio land, as they say. Maybe God's calling you tonight. Is he calling you? If he is, don't flee from him. Come to him in repentance and faith. Confess your sin. Seek cleansing from your sin from a holy God. You've offended a holy God. That's who you've sinned against. When David repented, here's what he said, Psalm 51, verses 2 through 4. He says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. David got right with God. I know a lot of people say, well, David sinned. Yeah, but David repented too. Won't you do that? If you want to be like David, won't you repent like David? Won't you get right like David? David acknowledged his transgression. David acknowledged his sin. And David acknowledged it was God that he had done wrong to. Is God calling you today? Is God calling you today? Perhaps you feel your guilt is extensive. As Sister Ruth comes to play an invitation hymn, perhaps you think your sin is so great you could never be forgiven. I'm going to tell you, friend, you come to God and he will save. God's the one that said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Those are the words of God in Isaiah 1:18. And friend, if you are saved, those of us that are saved, we ought to rejoice in the fact that we heard the voice of the Lord God come walking down our garden aisle one day. Amen. Not just a voice walking in our presence, but the voice calling our name. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you'd take this message, drive it home to every heart, work in some sinner's heart. Lord, deal with them and draw them to Calvary before it is eternally too late, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come to God?